Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. In this episode, I will be reviewing two movies, both from 2022, both brand new movies. First one being Smile, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard about by now, and the second being Bros. So yeah, those are my two reviews for this episode today, but before I get into any of them, I do have to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2022 Smile is written and directed by Parker Finn, stars Susie Bacon as Rose Cotter, we have Kyle Gallner as Joel, Caitlin Stacey as Laura Weaver, Robin Wiegert as Dr. Madeline Northcott, Jesse T. Usher, A-Train from the Boys, as Trevor, we have Cal Penn as Dr. Morgan Desai, and that's pretty much the main cast for you there. If you don't know what this movie is about, basically you have Rose Cotter, who is a therapist at a mental health facility. And she has a patient come in with a creepy-ass smile and cuts her face and takes her life right in front of Rose. And basically, from that point forward, that means that this curse, whatever it might be, is passed on to Rose. And, yeah, so she might die. And, yeah, it's a pretty similar concept to The Ring, which is a series I've never watched at all, but I'm familiar enough with it to know how similar it is. But at the same time, I think this movie does a lot of different things from what that one did. So, yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. I won't give anything huge away. In fact, the whole, you know, suicide thing is the only big thing I'll really give away, is that when you see somebody commit suicide who has this curse, it is then passed on to you. So, I mean, honestly, I think it's been done in more than just The Ring. I think there's a ever so slightly similar concept in It Follows as well, where it's a certain thing that's passed on from person to person and kill them. So definitely interesting concept, not completely original, but it's about what you do with the film overall that can make it different enough. And I mean, they do a lot of interesting things in this movie, especially those last 10 to 15 minutes are some of the most fucked up 10 to 15 minutes I've seen this year. I think the only movie to top how fucked up this one is Barbarian, which came out a few weeks ago. This movie isn't super fucked up. I mean, the whole suicide aspect is fucked up for sure, and the whole smiling thing is really unsettling, but for the most part, the fucked up parts are like the last 10 to 15 minutes, really. The last 10 to 15 minutes kind of make this movie for me. The stuff that comes before, it's a little lackluster. I wouldn't completely call it mediocre, but I mean, it's kind of the same shit that you see in a lot of different movies like this. So, most of the movie isn't anything like completely new or special, but those last 10 to 15 minutes, they do something completely different from anything I've seen in quite a while. I mean, as I said before, Barbarian's a little more fucked up, but this one has something in it that I wish I could compare it to a certain movie, but then that'd probably give away a certain thing, so I'm just not gonna do it. But I just want to preface this: if you are uncomfortable with suicide at all in film or TV shows, I recommend maybe don't listen to this review, and definitely don't go watch the movie, because If you're uncomfortable with that kind of thing, which I no judgment whatsoever, that makes complete sense, then you probably don't want to hear about it. But yeah, just a little warning for you there if that's something that makes you uncomfortable. But yeah, there's a lot I like about this movie, especially, you know, I hate to keep bringing this up, but those last 10 to 15 minutes, they kind of make the rest of the movie a little bit better for me. Not necessarily because it explains everything, because it really doesn't. But, I don't know, it makes everything else feel a little more eerie. So, I can appreciate that for sure. And another thing I can appreciate about this film is that you can see it through two different lenses. You can see it through the lens of this being a supernatural curse being passed person to person, or you can see it purely as a mental health movie where Rose is dealing with paranoia and hallucinations, and that could honestly explain the whole frickin' movie here, pretty much the whole movie. So you could either watch it from, again, the supernatural perspective or the mental health perspective. So that is something I very much appreciate. I don't know if that was the intention of the film in the writing or the directing or whatever it might be, but props to them for sure. And somebody's outside making a bunch of noise. Oh, well. let me see here. I'm just trying to see what other notes I have here. Not a whole lot, but there is a setup for a possible sequel. Do I want a sequel? Not necessarily, because I think something like this would stand better on its own. But if it does well enough, it'll inevitably get one. I mean, the theater was pretty packed. There were a lot of people there. A lot of people being rude, for sure. That's why I hate going to some of these movies sometimes. It's just because of the sheer amount of people in there and the sheer amount of people that don't fucking give a shit about your watching experience. So you have people, like, laughing in parts they really shouldn't be laughing at, with people, like, cutting their own heads off and whatnot. I'm just like, come on, man. I get it. They have a creepy smile on their face. It makes them look goofy. Oh, we're so funny. Honestly, I just want to fucking punch some of those people in the face sometimes and just be like, shut the fuck up for 5 minutes and just watch the fucking movie. Stop snickering like a little fucking 12-year-old. It's not funny, dude. Like, this shit is unsettling. And these people are like, obviously it's just a movie, but these people are killing themselves. And I'm just like, even under my breath a little bit, I'm like, I don't know why the fuck you're laughing right now, because this is fucked up. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies where, like a lot of horror movies in general, a lot of assholes go to see those movies because they want to be scared and all jumpy and like, and they want to scream and whatnot. I'm just like, I'm just trying to watch a movie so I can review it, people. Please, just shut the fuck up for 5 seconds. And then you have another guy who, like, you know, when your phone can get text alerts and make your flashlight flash or whatever. Yeah, there was a guy in the, like, front row with that shit on. So, like, every time he got a text, the whole fucking ceiling was just lit up with this stupid fucking flashlight. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, just turn your fucking phone off. And then people, of course, on their phones playing Pokemon Go and whatnot. Like, if you're watching right now and you're the person in the row in front of me playing Pokemon Go, dude, why are you gonna pay money for a fucking movie? Especially since it was at 9 p.m., and those tickets are like $11. Why are you going to pay $11 per fucking person just to come in here and sit on your phone? And also they brought in they brought in like a can of Monster. And once that shit was empty, the lady was like trying to put it back in her purse. And it was a can. So like, you know the noise an empty can makes. It's fucking loud and obnoxious. And she's just trying to stuff it in there. It's going like, and I'm just like, oh my God, just fucking stop. I'm not against people bringing in their own snacks, their own drinks, because I'm not gonna lie, I've brought in, like, Red Bulls and stuff before. Shit gets expensive sometimes, but at least try not to be a fucking obnoxious asshole with it. And, now that my rant is over, oh wait, one more thing. There was a kid that was, like, under 15 years old there. It sounded like he was the one that asked to go to the movie, but pretty much by the end of it, he was crying. Like, he came out of the theater crying, and I'm just like, why the fuck would you take your kid to a movie like this? Like, are there any kids' movies out right now? No. I think next week there is. Lyle Lyle Crocodile. Go take your kid to that one. Wait 1 week and take your kid to a movie that will not scar them. Honestly, Lyle Lyle Crocodile might scar me because it might be the worst fucking movie I've seen all year, but still, I digress. I'm going to stop my rant there because that took up most of my review. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty unsettling movie with some good elements of horror and some little twists and turns in there that most of them work, some of them don't. But there's a specific thing that happens at a child's birthday party, and the child was like, opening a gift. And I'm like, why are we focusing on a kid just opening a gift? And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I kind of realized what was about to happen. I didn't know what was going to be in there necessarily, but I knew it was going to be something fucked up. And I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then like the whole thing at the end, I was just like, oh my fucking God, I fucking love this shit. Because they do one of those endings where it's like, oh, thank God, it's over, we're safe. And then you find out they're not safe. And I'm just like, I kind of fucking hate those twists in those movies. Because so many fucking horror movies do that shit. But this one, once you realize that she's not actually safe, that's when shit's like amped up to like fucking 500. And I'm like, holy shit, bro. And it becomes one of my fucking like favorite last 10 to 15 minutes of any horror movie I've seen this year. Is it my favorite horror movie I've seen this year? No, I think that would probably be The Black Phone. Also, Nope was a really great one. But this one would probably be third, surprisingly, because I had a feeling I wouldn't like this movie. Didn't watch any reviews purposely going into it. Don't even know, you know, I'm subscribed to a lot of movie reviewers on YouTube. So like, you know, Real Rejects reviews movies sometimes, 3C Films, Sean Chandler, all that kind of stuff. They have their reviews out there, I think. I haven't listened to a single one, so I don't know how anybody else feels about this movie. Definitely going to go watch some reviews after, but for me personally, I think I'm going to give this movie an 8 out of 10, and I'm surprised to say that. Is it going to end up on my top 10 best of this year? I don't think so, but it's not going to end up on my top 10 worst. But I have to give it an 8 out of 10 just because of what they did at the end of the movie. Like, I'm going to be rewatching that scene like every fucking Halloween now or some shit. Like, after that movie gets released on digital, I might just buy it to watch the last 10-15 minutes because holy fucking shit, bro. In fact, I want to listen to a spoiler review and listen to somebody talk about it. Like, holy shit. I was debating on doing a spoiler review, but I'd have to probably watch the movie one more time. Almost said once again. That would make sense, I guess. But yeah, I'd probably have to watch the movie one more time to fully like pick up on everything and take notes for literally everything that happens. So I don't know, spoiler reviews, especially for this kind of stuff, is something I don't normally do. But if you really want to see one, I might just be able to do one. Comment down below. Tell me if you want a spoiler review for Smile. I can't promise that I'll do it, but hey, if I have the time, I'll go watch it again and do that spoiler review. But yeah, 8 out of 10 is not bad for something I expected not to like at all. In fact, I thought this movie was just going to be stupid and goofy and fucking lazy, but I mean, it was slow. It was a little generic for a decent majority of the movie. There were some little elements in there where I'm just like, oh my God, some fucked up shit, but for the most part, it wasn't anything like completely new. And then once again, for the millionth time, that last 10 to 15 minutes was just like mind fucking blown. So that doesn't happen very often with really any movie where anything blows my mind. But yeah, I mean, this movie definitely did. So will it end up on my top 10 best? I don't know. I really don't at this point. I feel like it has a small chance of ending up on my top 10 best. But we still have really great movies coming out this year. Black Panther 2. Honestly, I don't know what other ones I'm really looking forward to and ones I think I'll actually like. But there's a lot of other movies coming out this year. And there's a lot of movies that have already came out that I already love, like Batman and Top Gun and all that stuff. So those movies might overshadow this one, but I don't want you guys to go thinking I don't appreciate this one, because there's a lot I appreciate about it. There's a lot I don't love about it, but for the most part, the good outweighs the bad for me personally. Is everybody gonna love this movie? Probably not, but I think a decent amount of people will find something to enjoy in it at least. So yeah, there's my review for 2022 Smile. Have you seen it? Comment down below. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely liked it a lot. Actually, just thinking about it a little bit more, I think I'm going to give it a 7.5 just because the rest of the movie is a little forgettable, but the big moments that happen in here really do pay off. So I think 7.5 is a little more fair for just how I feel about it. But yeah, like I said, comment down below. Tell me what you thought of the movie. Please, for the love of God, do not spoil anything in the comments. For those of you who haven't seen it, are you planning on watching it? Yes or no? Why or why not? I would love to know. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will see you in the next one where I should be reviewing Bros. So, see you later. All right, so 2022's Bros is the movie I'm reviewing now. And just before I do that, yes, kind of a loud background. There's a highway right by the movie theater. There's people driving around. So, hopefully you guys can hear me all right. But I had to record outside because I'm in between movies at the minute. So in about an hour or so, I'm going to see Smile, and I don't know if I'm excited for that one, but I was definitely excited for this one because I like Billy Eichner, who is the star of the film and also one of the writers. And yeah, that's the main thing I was interested in. Also, Judd Apatow was attached to this project. He is the producer, and I like a lot of Judd Apatow's movies. Step Brothers, what else has he done? Trainwreck, which a lot of people hate Amy Schumer, but I really like that movie, especially because Bill Hader is amazing in it, and I love Bill Hader. But yeah, Judd Apatow's worked on a lot of really great comedic films, and yeah, this one is just another one of them. But it's a lot different from like some of his other work. I mean, he is just a producer, so like he has things that he adds and like little opinions and whatnot. Like, he puts money into it, and so, you know, in return, some of his ideas go into the movie. But I mean, just with a lot of the humor in here, you can see a lot of his influence. It's very crude humor, which is very on point for the rest of Judd Apatow's films. But I mean, if you don't like crude humor, you're not gonna like this movie. If you don't like the political woke agenda, then you're gonna hate this movie. If you hate gay people, you're gonna hate this movie. I mean, this is a movie that's gonna piss people off. For me personally, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, let me just talk about some of the cast here. Billy Eichner, as I said before, plays Bobby Lieber, who is a guy who just never stops talking, very, very confident in himself, I should say. Runs a podcast and also opens up an LGBTQ plus history museum in this movie. That's like the big thing that he's working towards. And then you have Luke McFarlane as Aaron Shepherd, who is a very bro-y guy. He hangs out with a lot of the bros. Even Bill Eichner's character at one point, he's like, I hate the dudes that are in the club shirtless. And he's one of those dudes in the club shirtless. But obviously, it turns into a love story between the two. Both of them aren't too jazzed about getting into any relationships with really anybody. But they find themselves in kind of a whirlwind when they fall for each other. So, like I said, it's going to piss a lot of people off. I don't give a shit. The movie theater that I went to, or the specific theater I was in watching this film, you know what I mean? Like, not the whole movie theater, but like the one specific theater. There were only 4 people in there, including me. So I don't know if that's an inclination on how well this film is going to do. I hope it does better than just, you know, 4 people going to a movie every once in a while. But yeah, 2 of the people left during a kind of, excuse me, voice crack there. I'm still getting over a cold. But 2 of the people left, a couple, they left during a sex scene, which, I mean, I don't want to judge them and be like, oh, they're uncomfortable with, you know, gay people, because why would they see the movie if they were uncomfortable with gay people? But I don't know, that sex scene did go on quite a while, which brings me to a point that this movie is almost 2 hours long and it has no right to be. I think they could have cut down like at least 15 minutes, not at least, I think they could have at least cut down like maybe 5 minutes and at most like 15 minutes. You know, cause some of those sex scenes, well, they don't make me uncomfortable. I just think they went on a little too long. You have too much time, like not talking about the story, not developing anything really. It's just, I mean, I can kind of understand why they did that to like, I don't know, make you believe the chemistry between the two. But again, I just don't think it needed to go on as long as it did.
But for the most part, those sex scenes were pretty funny with the certain things that they did. I mean, this is a very funny movie, in my opinion. I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it, for sure. Is it going to be in my top 10 favorites of this year? No. But it's not going to be in my top 10 least favorites. Is it a movie I would watch again? I think I would. I mean, it's a movie I really don't have a whole lot to say on. Let me get some of my notes out here. I mean, there's a lot of other great cast members here, but the main ones that you really want to talk about are Billy Eichner and Luke McFarlane. But we also have Miss Lawrence as Wanda. We have T.S. Madison as Angela. We have Dot Marie Jones, who is on Glee, playing either Cherry or Sherry. I'm not sure which. We have Jim Rash. Jim Rash is a great comedic actor as Robert. Eve Lindy as Tamara. We got Monica Raymond as Tina. And we even have some cameos from some fantastic comedians and other actors in here. We have Deborah Messing, who plays herself in the movie. She is an actress from Will and Grace, from what they said in the movie, which I have not watched that show. Maybe I will at some point. We also have Kenan Thompson, Amy Schumer, Seth Meyers. So we got some SNL cast, as well as just other comedians in the mix there. Pretty fitting. But yeah, I mean, their parts aren't super huge. They're more cameos than anything. But overall, I did like the story of this movie. I am kind of a sucker for these types of romantic movies, especially ones that are rom-coms. And I had fun with it. Let me get some of my notes here. that sounds healthy. So yeah, lots of self-aware humor in this movie, especially in the first 30 minutes, literally talking about two straight actors playing gay dudes. And it's just like, isn't that exactly what's happening? Last I checked, Billy Eichner isn't gay, even though I haven't checked at all. And then Luke McFarlane, is it? Yeah. I don't know for sure if he's gay or not. I don't know. But a lot of self-aware humor talking about the movie specifically, and just like kind of making fun of themselves. So that's kind of fun. Sometimes they overdo it, but not in this case. Because while there is a lot of crude and woke and self-aware humor in this movie, they don't overshadow the more serious and dramatic moments with humor, which is something a lot of movies like this are not able to do. So I very much appreciate the movie for slowing it down and like having some actual like drama that you actually feel between the two characters. So I appreciate a lot of the writing in this movie, for sure. Billy Eichner is a writer on here too, so it's like, damn man, you did a good job. I don't think I mentioned the director though. I think I mentioned that Judd Apatow is producing, but it's directed by Nicholas Stoller, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, he's worked with Judd Apatow before on other projects, but again, I could be wrong on that. And then written by Nicholas Stoller and Billy Eichner. Let me see what else I have in my notes here. I think I pretty much covered it all. The one last thing I will say is that, yes, they could have cut some scenes down. But speaking of cuts, they, like, just when characters are having conversations with each other, there's so many cuts between the conversation where I'm just like, it's a conversation. You don't need to cut so many times. Like, there's no action going on right now. This isn't an action movie. So you don't need to be cutting to so many different angles between so many words. It's like every fifth word they cut back and forth. Not even that. Like, it was just so rapid at some points in this movie where I was just like, all right, just slow it down a little bit. But like I said before, they did kind of slow it down a little bit more towards the last kind of half hour. So, I appreciated that they at least took their time with the finale of the film, even though it went on a little too long and, like I said, could be cut down a little bit. But overall, I did have fun with 2022's Bros, and I think overall I'm going to give this movie a 7.5 out of 10. Lots of comedy that worked for me. The more dramatic moments worked for me. The story overall, I think, I enjoyed. I don't think it's for everybody. In fact, I think there's a lot of people out there that this movie is not for. So, I mean, it was kind of made to piss those types of people off. So, I appreciate that, at least. Let's piss off the dumb people around here, the people that have their heads stuck up their asses. But, yeah, have you seen 2022's Bros? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely liked it a lot, and I would recommend it to those of you out there who are not bigots and can watch something like this. Yeah, comment down below. Let me know what you thought of the film. And if you haven't seen it yet, are you planning on seeing it? I would love to know. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will see you in the next one.
Thank you all so much for listening. I will see you in the next episode. And I'll be reviewing Lyle Lyle Crocodile as well as Amsterdam. What else is coming out? 8th episode of She-Hulk. And those will probably split up a little bit. I know there's another couple of movies coming out too. That new Marilyn Monroe movie with Ana de Armas playing Marilyn Monroe, which is like a 3-hour movie. So I don't know if I'm going to be watching that one, to be honest. But yeah, we'll see. And then Hocus Pocus 2, I think, comes out soon as well, right? So yeah, keep an eye open for all those reviews. And as always, go over to my YouTube channel, which is now Film Punch. I'd recommend going to my Instagram at film_punch and go to the link in the bio. Should take you where you need to go for my YouTube channel and get all the reviews earlier over there. So highly recommend doing that. And also the podcast will be ending at episode 200. So that's where I'll be doing the majority of the work once this is all wrapped up. But once again, thank you all for watching, or not watching, listening. And I will see you in the next one.